Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Show on a Wednesday, and we have a doozy for you today. We got a lot of fun coming at 5 o'clock as we unleash the Fandemonium 2020 bracket, the 64 team field for all fan personalities. But before that, we have a new wide receiver in the fold for Aaron Rodgers, maybe a new toy. We'll also talk to Gary D'Amato of Wisconsin.golf about the closures of all Wisconsin golf courses going into the governor's order, that coming down earlier on today, and a fun conversation sparking up from one Trey Young, who made a little bit of noise, and we'll weigh in our two cents coming up at 3 o'clock. Dan Shanka talks NFL draft with us from OurLads.com at 3:48, and Chris Monter, editor of College Basketball News, stops by at 4:35, talk about how these closures and cancellations of the NCAA tournament also ultimately weigh in and weigh upon the NBA draft that maybe comes on scheduled as planned whenever they end up playing basketball again, and then the NFL draft doing some interesting things in their own right, and we'll discuss that as well. Lot to get to. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here. Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back. Leroy Butler going to join us as well. Stevie, first off for you, we'll start it up with Devin Funchess. Yesterday, news coming down right as we're about to get off the air that the Packers acquiring Devin Funchess, bringing him in, agreeing to terms for a one-year deal. Don't have the numbers just yet, but as a two games of an Indianapolis Colt and a few years in a Carolina Panthers uniform, your ideas and thoughts of the former Michigan tight end turn wide receiver coming into Green Bay?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it necessarily, but as you said before, we don't know what the money of it is yet, and that's the one thing that I'm anxious to see going forward here. Tajae Sharpe, the former Titans wide receiver, just signed a one-year deal with the Vikings earlier today, and Tom Pelissero has it as a $1 million deal, of which $675,000 is guaranteed, including $175,000 signing bonus, max is $1.5 million with incentive. So that's what Taj Sharpe gets on a one-year deal. So if he's going for $1 million, $1.5 million, I cannot imagine you're giving Devin Funchess, who was hurt last year, more than $5 million a year. I would have to think it's $5 million or less per year. If that's what the deal is, then I'm okay with it. But if it's a one-year, $10 million deal, then I'm going to be really mad.
No, then I'd lose it.
This is a dude that he drops footballs and has throughout his career, but he does give you a big body for the red zone, does give you the ability to make some big plays downfield from time to time. So, I mean, I get it. As long as it's cheap, I'm fine with it.
Gary, still trying to find the numbers on Devin Funchess, but your thoughts on the former Michigan tight end turned wide receiver coming in to Green Bay for the one-year deal? Sparky says $5 million. If it's $5 million, I think we might all lose our collective minds. But what are your thoughts initially as that came down just before we got off the air last night?
Well, I think it's a great deal for them. And we were talking about a little bit earlier, we thought they'd make one more deal and they need to get a receiver. So, I mean, it's a good deal for them. I mean, I don't know what he does for me right now, but when he came out of Michigan, I loved him. I thought the Packers should have drafted him. I thought he fit well within Mike McCarthy's system. I thought, here's a guy that can play tight end, that you can put at wide receiver. He could be a gadget guy, move him all around. So I liked him when he came out of college. I don't know so much about now. Is it a little bit more of an upgrade? Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on what you want to do with Geronimo Allison, what you want to do with Kumaro. I mean, MVS is not the same type of receiver. Maybe it gives you options to move Davante Adams around a little bit more than normally.
Right.
Maybe you can motion Devontae in the slot, which they did a lot last year, and Funches becomes your outside guy, you know, along with Allen, with Lazard. Now, they're still kind of bigger at the wide receiver spot. Maybe they go in and draft and get a little small slot guy, because right now they still have a lot of big receivers. I mean, you look at it right now, St. Brown's coming back. That joker's about 6'5", 6'6". So right now they still got a lot of tall receivers on their roster. They don't have that Randall Cobb-type person in the slot quite yet.
That was the same thought I had when the news came down and kind of looked at it more, Gary. It's another big-time body, and maybe it allows them to utilize Davante Adams inside more. And also, I mean, this is a guy that played tight end. Now, coming in, he's 225 pounds. You're not going to line him up in line and have him blocking a whole bunch. But his blocking background, we saw a lot of Matt LaFleur last year, Leroy, making wide receivers be blockers in the run game as well. And it does fit what they've seemed like wanting to bring in, which are the get-off-the-bus guys, as we say. And they brought another one in, 6'4", 225, with Devin Funches yesterday for a one-year deal as we try to figure out the numbers. What were your thoughts, Leroy, as they bring it in, thinking maybe they would have gone maybe a little bit smaller?
Yeah, again, they like the big guys. They like the big guys that can run. I mean, I don't know what's the difference between him and MVS. Maybe the name. Maybe
sure.
The you know, speed. But Funches has played, in, you know, with, of course, with an MVP quarterback in Cam Newton. And at one point, you know, some, you know, parts of the field, he was their go-to guy. This guy is more experienced. But it seemed like to me, though, I don't care about the money part. I don't care about that. I'll let other people pick that part. I don't care about that. You have to add guys that are trustworthy down the stretch, veterans. And this is a veteran. Didn't cost you a whole lot. But to me, it would seem like the Nelson Aguilar deal would have been a deal that you really want, because there's your slot guy. So maybe Funches will be kind of the move guy and be more so of a tight end threat.
Gary, do you think Devin Funches is enough? Because, like, we all have said that they're going to need something else here. But in free agency, is he enough? Because you do still have to add in the draft, and imagine they're going to go that way as well.
Listen, here's what you get right now. You're getting depth. That's what you're trying to get right now in free agency. Anybody you sign right now is going to be a one-year deal. It's going to be a veteran. You're not going to pay him a whole lot of money. So you're just trying to add depth. I don't necessarily see a starter right now with the guys that you can get. And I don't know who all else is out there to go get, but you're not getting a bona fide star. You're adding depth to your team right now, and that's what the Packers are doing.
Sparky, how much of Devin Funches is enough for the Green Bay Packers acquiring wide receiver depth right now?
Well, I mean, it doesn't fix the problem, obviously. I mean, if he's healthy, it helps a little bit, but I think if you were hell-bent on drafting a wide receiver in the draft, I think you're still hell-bent on drafting a wide receiver in the draft. I think if you were interested in a Taylor Gabriel, you probably still are interested in a Taylor Gabriel compared to a Funches. I think they're different type of football players, so I think you're still there. I don't know if it does much. I know one thing, but based on our social media and our fan account, there, it definitely has sparked a lot of chatter of pro Devin Funches versus those that don't like Devin Funches back and forth throughout the last 24 hours.
Leroy, how much more do you think they need right now?
Well, they don't have anybody with any wiggle.
No.
You need somebody to catch a ball into the house that can break tackles. I mean, they got enough down the field guys. If you look in their meeting room, I mean, you're going to say, man, these guys going to hurt somebody. I mean, the size. I mean, but Funches was a head scratcher. I remember he ran like a 4.7 or 7 at the combine, and then he came back at his pro day and put down like a 4.4. And maybe that's the reason why he went in the second round, but the guy has made some spectacular catches. He could be just like Rashad Gary, a project but a veteran. But as far as the guys in the slot with the wiggle, that lane is still wide open. I mean, they can still get the kid I like at Baylor Mims if they want him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll fit in that locker room. But at the same time, I mean, you like to have somebody with some wiggle that can run some jet sweeps and that can, you know, you could throw it to him in the swing outs. Maybe that's Aaron Jones. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm excited that they're starting to do what I've been saying for a while. 1-year deals. That's this week and next week. Get as many 1-year deals as possible to fill up your locker room with veterans so you can stay in this run.
Sure.
You're in the run now because you went to the championship game. So you need to stay there. Now, I'm not saying don't get too young, but you need in the next 3-4 years to have enough guys on your, you know, these prove-it deals. This is for Funchess. It's a prove-it deal. Put down 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 10 mm-hmm. touchdowns, you're going to get paid next year. So this is the first of the, maybe 5 prove-it deals. So with that being said, I thought they did a good job at that. And again, I'm not worried about the money because I think people are worried about the money because they only had like $15 million. So if you eat up a bunch on this, then it's going to be a head-scratcher. But again, I have to go back to that Nelson Aguilar deal. Man, that's a real head-scratcher for a guy you could have got for almost the minimum and could have been very good for you in the slot.
Gary, it seems like a lot of people want this to be for the minimum. And if it is for the minimum or just a little bit above, it is going to allow them to gather more one-year deals around this line. But when you do try to equate where they are at in the run, as Leroy Butler said, and the depth that they've acquired there, can they now go and acquire more depth around, or do you believe they do need to get another wide receiver here in free agency? And you can also weigh in at 414-799-1250.
Well, I tell you what, Billy, I think for me, it's a depth move. Yeah, they need to go draft the guy. I don't know if there. I mean, there's not a guy out there right now long term, I don't believe, that fits that slot guy that we're trying to look at. So maybe they got to go draft a guy. I think that's what you're looking at. I think when you look at the Packers last year and well, the year before that, when they got Jamon Moore, they got MVS and St. Brown, all these guys were taller receivers, 6'3", 6'2", 6'5".
Yeah.
But all these guys could run like a 4'4", 4'5", so they all had good speed. But they never had a guy in the middle where they didn't draft any guy in the middle that could work the middle of the field. Funchess could be a move guy in that. Could you motion me? Could he play some tight end for you, right? Can he release out and do some work up the middle? Maybe he can. Because I think you can put him in that
sure.
sort of role. Can you put him on the outside and then motion Davante Adams inside? Yeah, I think it adds some versatility to your offense. But is he a game changer? I don't think he's a game changer.
No.
I think 5 or 6 years ago he was a game changer. But I don't think he's a game changer right now. I think he's a good veteran, good guy you want in that locker room. I think he's a guy that can be dependable for Aaron Rodgers. Yes, he has dropped a lot of passes in years past, but I think he's a good guy that you can have. Maybe he's your third or fourth guy, depends on how they do it.
And that part of it, Gary, being able to stretch the middle of the field, that's where a lot of people were really high on Funchess, as you said, coming out of the draft, because they had just lost JerMichael Finley and what he was able to do vertically up the middle. How much can that keep teams out of shadowing Davante Adams and maybe being a double cover guy? If he's not a game changer, can he at least keep people from double covering 17?
No, they always going to double cover 17. He's getting it anyway regardless.
Okay.
Right.
But Funchess got to catch the ball and throw it to him because somebody's going to be open.
Sure.
Somebody's getting loose.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and Funchess, go ahead, Gary.
No, go ahead, Roy.
No, you know, you're right. Your point is correct. Somebody's going to get open. And I think he has the name ID that you need, that when you are drawing up these game plans, and be honest, come on. I mean, a lot of these defenses, they're just not going to circle in their meeting room, Lazard and MVS. That's why every now and then they can catch these wide open passes. They're just, I mean, sometimes they didn't even cover Jimmy Graham. They're going to do that with him. So now maybe that opens up a Sternberg to work the Sternberg if they want him to be the middle. But, Gary, again, go back to.
No, I totally agree with Leroy on that. I think when you look at Sternberger, to me, is the key to all of this. Like, I think if he works out, they want him to be the guy that can work the middle. I mean, he was a guy when they drafted him, the guy has a lot of ability. He can flat out run. He can get down the middle. Here's a guy that I think they drafted him very high. got hurt, well, got that concussion during training camp. It kind of set him back a little bit. But I think Sternberger, to me, Leroy, is probably the guy that you're looking at to have the most upside to work that middle for him.
They're going to give him an opportunity. I mean, they really are. They're going to give him an opportunity. As far as blocking is concerned, I mean, I think the gold standard is Kittle. That guy works at it. He wants to do it. He wants all the smoke. But you can be somewhere in between just a willing full blocker but a great receiver. I mean, you can do that. But in this particular offense where they want to run the ball out on the perimeter, you're going to have somebody, if you're going to be in that tight end position, have to get the proper angles that you're going to need to get Aaron Jones out on that perimeter and out to play action. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best play-action quarterbacks, and that's what Funchess is going to be very good at. Play-action, if 17 is not there, there's the deep over route by Funchess. And, again, this is just a piece of the puzzle. There's still a lot of pieces missing in this puzzle before you get to when we're playing active games.
And there are going to be a multitude of ways of how you can acquire more pieces of that puzzle. But for free agency-wise, is Devin Funchess enough for the Green Bay Packers at the wide receiver spot in free agency? 414-799-1250. It's the Wendy's Big Show here. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. You can weigh in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Also, a conversation going down in the mentions right now, guys, about our guy Gary D'Amato is going to join us coming up at 2:48 about the closures of Wisconsin golf courses. We'll get into that, as well as get you CBS News updates on the hour at the 30s right here on The Fan, keeping you informed, live, and local. All four ready to rock and roll. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Baby Tausch with you on 105.7 FM, The Fan. You want to join the Wendy's Big Show? This is 105.7 FM, The Fan. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Leroy Butler, Hall of Fame finalist. And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, all broadcasting from discreet locations. Do you think Devin Funchess is enough at wide receiver? We're answering that for you right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Keith said in free agency? Yes. They've set themselves up to take the best player available at any positions they are looking to shore up. Linebacker, wide receiver, tackle, defensive line, defensive back. They can now take whoever they want or fall to or trade back as well. They can even take a quarterback that falls if they want to. I will completely disagree with the quarterback idea in round one, but Sparky, you've been claiming trade back for quite some time. I know they got depth guys and they got positions, and I think the Kirksey and Wagner signings, along with what Funchess does for you, at least gives you another body that's going to give you a veteran presence in camp and does allow you to take whoever is available right there and feel pretty good about it going forward for the next 9 picks you have, as the Packers have all 10 ready to go in this year's draft once it goes down April 23rd.
This is like what we were talking about yesterday. Just because you have a warm body doesn't mean it's a great option necessarily. And just because you have this dude under contract for 1 year doesn't solve issues of, you know, doing something different. I don't really think the game plan changes at all. I mean, if you were dead set on bringing in vets at wide receiver, and if he's cheap, if he's, you know, 1 year, $3 million, 1 year, $4 million, whatever, you can still go get another veteran free agent wide receiver if you like somebody else out there that's along the same price point. If not, I think if you were planning on drafting 2 wide receivers or 3 wide receivers in this draft, signing Devin Funchess should not change that plan at all. As far as veteran leadership goes, as far as what he brings to that locker room, I don't know. I can't honestly tell you I know anything about him from a leadership standpoint as far as how he is in the locker room. I do know this. If nothing else, it should maybe push MVS and some of these younger guys to play a little bit better so they don't lose their job to him.
Well, I mean, Gary, you can kind of preach to what kind of guy Devin Funchess is. Big Ten guy. You know what kind of guy he is. Can come in, graduate, Michigan. Work hard, play hard. Big Ten guy, right, from Michigan. So, I mean, he's going to give you what you need, right? He's going to fill in the hole. And does it change your plan, though, Gary, when you go into the draft at all, maybe about the amount of players at that position you're taking?
Well, I don't think so. I think when you look at, you know what you got with Funchess, right? I mean, you know what kind of player he is at this.
Yeah, you got a sample size on him.
We know what he is. So you can't take that to the bank. You know what you got, but you need to add to it. He's not an end-all, be-all to the solution to what you don't have at receiver. They've got to figure out how to go get themselves another Davante Adams, another Jordy Nelson, another Randall Cobb. That's what they need to be looking at. Now, I don't know if St. Brown, can he be that guy? I don't know. But, I mean, jury's still out. Maybe he can be. MVS, do we give MVS one more year? I mean, will he make the team out of training camp? Will they be patient with him for one more year? I think they will.
It's a great
be.
Question.
I think he's going to stick. I think they're going to give him another opportunity. Because, I don't know, maybe Leroy don't like him. I like a guy with speed, and I always have like a guy with speed and size. He didn't really drop a lot of passes to me, but it just felt like MVS was never available. You know,
and he dropped bigger ones, if anything. He didn't drop a ton, but like the ones that he did drop, he dropped the big ones. Yeah,
and just felt like he lost confidence in himself.
Sure,
and I seen guys like that. I saw the guy in college, Jamon Moore. I saw him in college. That guy was awesome at Missouri, man.
Yeah, he was.
They ran that wide open offense. That joker didn't drop no passes. All of a sudden, he comes here. He just forgot how to catch the ball. So it felt like to me that's the same thing happened with MVS last year. He got the Jamon Moore disease. Like I don't know how that.
Yeah, Jamon Moore couldn't catch a cold when he was running routes.
No, just I don't know what happened. So maybe this year he comes back and he gets it figured out and gets some confidence in his game.
Well,
what's got to happen?
What about this guys for Marquez Valdes-Scantling? Gary, I agree with you. I think they definitely give him one more shot, but I'm not guaranteeing that he's gonna break camp. Like I think they give him a shot going into camp and somebody can beat him out, but going in it feels like it's got to be his job to lose, right, Leroy?
It is.
Leroy, do you believe it's got to be his job to lose once you get into camp and you're trying to make sure that guy's going to be able to stay available? Because it's not only the abilities that he has, but as we always say, the accountability and availability was more of the issue for him going in last year as well.
No doubt about it. I think when you look at what he's got to stay healthy. He's got to be on the field. He's got to make that happen this year. Whatever relationship he had with Aaron Rodgers, that's got to work. They got to forget all that stuff, Roy.
Sparky, how much of a chance are you giving MVS coming into camp, or does he even have to prove anything to you to be on the roster?
No, I think he is on the roster, and I think he's going to have a big bounce back year this year. I really do. I might be on an island of like one at this point and believing in MVS, but I really think that part of the problem was last year. Maybe he just wasn't grasping what they were trying to do on offense, and maybe that is why Matt LaFleur has decided to shorten the verbiage on their play calls and so forth, as he said, to give the younger guys a better opportunity, a better chance at this offense. So I think with that difference coming into this offseason plus 1 year in that offense, I think MVS bounces back and has a big year.
Whether or not it's a big year, Leroy, though, for him to be able to break camp, I think he does have to play a certain level to at least keep the job. It might not be – it's probably his job to lose going in at least once you get into camp, depending on how many more bodies they bring in before April's draft as well.
It's open competition. It really is. And I was going to ask Gary that question earlier. Will Rashad Gary – do you put Funches on the same thing, these projects, and you hope these guys turn out to be great and that you don't have a lot to lose? But if I was in competition, you know, again, when these guys get in there, they got who has the best chemistry with Aaron Rodgers the quickest possible, that's who's going to play. Because remember, you got a new receivers coach, and he don't know these guys. I mean, you've heard about them. He's not spending time with these guys. Their receivers coach is in Wisconsin, so – you know, maybe you do give some of these guys another chance to see can another coach reach that potential. And then you go from there. But I'm going to tell you something. When they finally get into camp, you're going to look at that line you line up to catch passes, and say, man, are those the linebackers or are those the receivers? And at that point, you're going to find out how good these guys really are after the catch. When they're not getting the ball, are they hustling, are they blocking, all that kind of stuff goes into it. And that's what's going to determine if these guys play or not.
They ask their wide receivers to do a lot, Gary, especially in the blocking game as well. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were probably more drawn to Devin Funches, because of the tight end background he had a little bit that had to have played into it for Matt LaFleur, because that was one of the main reasons why Jay Kumerow seemed like he was always on the field, because they always talked about, well, he's really, really good in the run game. We'll throw him the ball twice, you know, a month, but as long as he can go out there and block and allow Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams to get outside, maybe that's all he can do, and maybe they use him more into the lead block of some of these jet sweeps if they do go and get somebody with a little bit more wiggle and a little bit more speed.
There you go, Billy. I mean, you're absolutely right. They talk about the receivers blocking, and that's what they really added. They added another guy who can block. They used Kumerow last year on a little short motion on goal line with a short motion of men, and they bring him back up inside as a lead blocker. It just makes all the sense in the world to me they just go draft Jonathan Taylor. It just is what it feels like. I mean, you go get Funches. I mean, you did. That's what you did. You're exactly right. You brought in a receiver that can also block. I don't know.
It feels like they're getting ready to run the football a lot more than they did last year.
Here's what I do know. How about this?
I'm ready for
it. Their options are wide open, right? I mean, it feels like we talk about best available player at that spot. It feels like that's what they're setting themselves up to be. Where they're not really locked in at one spot. They're down at 30. Okay, maybe like Steve said, maybe they do trade back because they go, okay, we really don't need to be here. We can get that guy 4 or 5 picks later in the second round. I mean, that's a possibility for them.
414-799-1250. How does Devin Funches do enough for the Green Bay Packers that they can be done in free agency adding at the wide receiver spot? We've all pretty much agreed that they need to go get somebody in the draft at least to bolster the depth, and we'll talk to Dan Shanka of Our Lads Draft Services coming up at 3:48. Leroy, you said Denzel Mims is one of the guys that you're really looking for into the draft. Gary, I know one, though, that we've all looked at least a comp of what you can get would be a Deebo Samuel, who went in the early part of the second round that would do just about everything they need for this new slot player to do.
No, he's right. I mean, that's what you're looking for, right? That boy was absolutely amazing, right? So if the Packers can get something like that, that will be great, Roy.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. You need somebody with some wiggle. I mean, why you think Randall Cobb got all that money where he went? Why you think he got all that money?
Well, because Bill O'Brien's stupid.
Both of those things. Both of those things. But people like these slots, man. Humphreys, I mean, he wouldn't have got a bunch of money. Your boy up there in Buffalo, went from Dallas Cowboys. I forgot his name. In the slot. Little short guy. These guys get paid, man. I mean, you need somebody in that slot to work the middle of the field that can sit out at 12 yards when it's 3rd and 8 to just move the chain. They have nobody like that. Now, they tried to do it with a few guys. Maybe Tyler Irvin can do it, Aaron Jones, but they want Aaron Jones really to be running the football. Right. But it just didn't seem – they need to find somebody. And maybe they will, but it just seemed like now somebody in that meeting room loves 6'4 receivers. I don't know who it is, but obviously, you got to put it on Gutekunst. That's what he likes. That is not going to get you first downs in the intermediate. Those are all down the field guys, so we got to see what happens.
I wonder how much of this guy's is going to be able to play to just throw the ball around him and see if he can go get it. Funches doesn't have the hands where you think he's just going to be a go-up-and-get-it guy every single time you throw the ball somewhere near him. He's going to haul it down. But I wonder if the big body look is going to be maybe a little bit easier for Rodgers to try to target. And maybe he gives him some more 50-50 balls closer to the jump balls that we thought Jimmy Graham was going to get. Well, maybe there goes the 2 touchdowns that Jimmy Graham caught last year in the red zone. You just added
wait
a minute. Devin
wait, 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 wait. If you got a reputation of dropping balls, do you actually think? Come on. Billy, come on, answer your own question, because it ain't no. If it was me, I would do it, man. I'm not throwing you an alley-oop if I think you can.
Right. But the issue is, though, Gary, is he's made some of these plays. He's made some big splash plays. But the bigger issue has been making the simple one seemingly more for Funches with the hands.
Right, and that's who he's been. That's who he's been his whole career, well, whole professional career. That's
right.
He was inconsistent like that in Michigan as well, though.
Yep, no doubt about it, he was.
But the guy had raw talent. The guy was just raw at what he was doing, and he's very athletic. And he could come up. He dropped a little pass right there and come up and make a catch behind his head. You're like, how does he do that? So he has a propensity to make the big plays.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. We'll talk to Gary D'Amato from Wisconsin.golf about the closure of Wisconsin golf courses around as well, coming up at 2:48. But now it's time for the latest from CBS News on the coronavirus pandemic at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show back on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. We're broadcasting from for you here today. I'm Bill Schmidt, along with Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, Leroy Butler, and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you at 414-799-1250. 5 o'clock tonight, the Fandemonium Selection Show, as we bring you the 64-team bracket assessed and aligned by corporate khakis himself, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, along with some help from Joe Zanzola, some others around the building.
I got so many questions about that.
Well, lay them on us. Lay them on us, Roy.
First of all, if they're on the committee, how are people not going to say it's rigged when they can give their own self a higher grade?
Oh, for sure. No, no. The alignment may have has definitely some flaws to it, 100%.
No,
but the voting-wise will be all fan-driven, as fans vote at 105.7 FM The Fan. So at least you can't rig if you win.
Now, even if I'm a fan, I don't know all those jokers. I'm going to vote for Sparky. I'm going to vote for, you know, Horvath.
I don't know. I'd vote for anybody with a name and a moniker that's going to come up as Horny Dave. Like, that's the only way that I know. Like, if somebody's going to have a stupid name like that, the BVS is the one that has just been ringing in my head for the last few days, Gary, of, like, right. The weird names that you're going to be like, oh, I remember them talking about some guy named Heffelfinger.
Yeah, BBS, Horny Dave.
It's so unfair, man. Fans don't know those people, man. Yeah.
Hey, well,
I think they do, Leroy. I mean, you'd be amazed how many people have been on our station, have listened to us from day one. They know the history of what we've been all about.
They know
I've been here 10 years, and I don't know half of them people on there.
Well, I mean, you don't need to. You're Leroy Butler.
Yeah, you just walk in and talk stupid.
No. People need to know who you are. You don't need to know who they
are. Well, that's true, Gary.
As long as they know who you are.
This is what y'all creating. Some of these personalities, they feel it's going to be hurt.
Well, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, no, there's definitely going to be some people that are going to have their feelings hurt.
Maybe that's the humor side, I guess.
That's the humor side.
Well, okay, we'll hurt people's feelings now. Okay, it works.
Listen, all I got to say is that I'm going to be rather disappointed if I'm not at least a number two seed. Right? I mean, there are going to be the people that are going to be frustrated. It's fine. Yeah. Sparky, you know that the smoke's going to come.
He should be. He know it.
Yeah, that's what comes along with it, man. The NCAA selection committee, they get all kinds of heat, too, when they make their tournament selection. So why should it be any different for this?
But the selection committee is not in the game.
True.
They select the teams.
That's
they
true.
Don't do that.
That's true. The boy guard.
Y'all should have got another committee.
I like that. Not in the game.
Yeah, you got another committee. I mean, everybody in the committee. Everybody make themselves.
Yeah, but.
Hey, Steve, is Leroy in on this?
No.
Yeah, he's in.
He's in there?
No, I told you that I don't want to be a part.
No, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. You don't get a choice and we put you in.
That's why I don't like the committee.
Why?
The committee do stuff that you don't like.
You're the odds-on favorite to win this thing. If there were odds, you and Tim Allen would be the favorite.
I don't want to win. I want one of you guys. I want somebody to argue thinking they're supposed to be higher in fans, but I don't know you, and it's going to be funny.
But hold on. Here's the deal. We don't want to win no one wants to win just because, Leroy said he doesn't want to do it. That's like having somebody let you win. I want to have the pride of knocking off number 36.
That's just Leroy saying, I'm the best one on the station. Y'all can't beat me, so I don't want to be in.
Well, that's true.
What Leroy's
probably,
doing.
That's a lot of truth in that.
There is
but
a lot
y'all
of truth.
Talking about personalities. This is their job, Steve. This ain't my job. This is my fifth job. The people on that thing, their number one job is radio. So, just
not all
hobby,
of them. Really. Not all of them.
Yeah, all of them. It's their career people. Without them on the radio, they just normal folk.
No,
I'm
there
different.
Are.
Steve,
no,
I ain't looking
Leroy.
For that.
Leroy, we had to make rules. We were at 130. We had to go down to 64 because the corporate turning machine thingy that we use only allows 64. So we had to make rules of who could be in and who couldn't be in necessarily in order to make it as fair as we could. What we did decide was the on-air current contributors that have been with us for a little while are in that are currently on air with us. So Matt Velasquez is in, Adam McKelvey is in, Ryan Wood is in, and Eric Name are all in.
Name?
And those aren't guys that just do radio for a living. They do other jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
You're missing the point. It ain't enough for those guys to drive it. That's only a handful of guys. A majority of those people, they're going to get upset because they think they're better than what you guys are rating them, and
that's
their feelings going to get hurt. That's okay, fine. y'all gonna lose some friends. Tell me to be friends with everybody.
Well, I don't need to be friends with everyone. I think forever. that's the best way to do it. I'm always down for to lose some friends. I do it pretty much all the time. But I think the one thing that is fun about it, Leroy, because you know we all like pettiness on this show.
Yes, we do.
64 petty individuals, because you put a microphone in front of anybody and you are going to have a little bit more self-esteem than you thought. So that part of it,
I at least
like that we get all 64 people that will say, no, you know what, man? I should have been a 13 seed. Screw this, I'm a 15.
Thank you.
Basically just talking about whatever Dan Plucker's coming out of, because he's still frustrated that he's not a number 5 seed. But we all know the 5 seed always gets upset by the 12. So we'll line it all up for you coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll be joined by a bunch of guests, some that you listen to
so
currently, some that you've listened to, as Gary said, you know, 13 years ago, as we've been around for 15 years right here talking sports with you on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. That comes up at 5 o'clock. And once again, you guys will have the final say on who wins this Fandemonium tournament. With their voting going up at 5:30, it'll go live at 1057fmthefan.com. 414-799-1250. Well, you're right.
That's why I'm sitting outside of my front porch right now, Leroy, doing the show. It's because of the virus.
Right, I blame it all. We blame it all on it.
I started the show inside. I started the show inside, and Baby Tosh goes, "Dude, you're too quiet. You can't do the show."
Sounded like you were in a library,
right? Because Jackson's sleeping, taking a nap. So I'm not trying to wake the kid up, and a 4-year-old screaming on the radio. I figured Billy would hate that even more.
That's true.
So I decided, okay, well, I guess I can't stay inside. So now I'm literally sitting out on the front porch next to the door, looking at traffic going by at the stoplight.
See, but isn't that fun, though? It's a beautiful day for it.
Put your address out.
It's not
going to
be a beautiful day for the next 2 or 3 weeks or however long this lasts.
Put your address out, Steve. I want a picture of this.
I got a picture already. I'll tweet it out.
Can we get a street view of seeing Stevie just hanging out of the front?
Well, you're not going to get a picture of me. There's nobody out here to take a picture of me, but I'll give you the picture of the table and the headset.
That is just awesome.
Yeah, give me a picture of your.
I sent it to Billy.
You get a picture of that.
Yeah.
Well, knowing my phone in this studio, I'll probably get that picture come 2030.
Oh my God.
What,
I'm
going to
send you a picture, too. Where I'm at, Billy.
Is he really outside? You ain't
swear
outside
to God.
Oh,
Billy told me I couldn't do it inside because I was too quiet, so here I am.
You could have put the baby upstairs and you could have went in the basement, Steve.
It doesn't matter, Leroy. You can hear anything from the basement up through the vents.
That's how they hear the kid cussing when he's playing
video games. Well, how you and your wife had a baby then if y'all can hear everything, Steve?
That was in the other place.
There you go.
West Dallas.
See, this boy here.
That was conceived
in West Dallas. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you knew something crazy was going to go on. Well, talk about West Dallas. I don't know if Mike was conceived in West Dallas, but he's calling us from West Dallas at 799-1250. Mike, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
How are you guys doing? Close. I was conceived in Milwaukee.
Okay, well, that works out.
Good for you.
But, no, I wanted to comment about the signing of Funchess. You know, for me, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. Yeah, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, if it's a veteran minimum deal, I guess he's better than what you have. But what was your biggest issue last year offensively is you lack guys that have explosiveness, that can get separation, that are able to beat man coverage and take pressure off Rodgers. You know, Funchess, he's another big-bodied, slow, sluggish wide receiver that doesn't accomplish any of those things. So for me, they need to draft 2 wide receivers in the first 3 rounds. Otherwise, we're going to be seeing, you know, more of the same offense of Rodgers, you know, dancing around the pocket, because he's not the same guy he was 5 years ago. Ever since that collarbone injury, you know, he's lost some velocity on his fastball. I mean, he's still a good quarterback, but he's not able to fit the ball in those tight windows like he once was when he was the MVP. Back some years back.
Appreciate it, Mike. Yeah, no doubt about it. And what also, Gary, he doesn't have is he seems to not have the we used to say it, a word that I can't really say on the radio, but the forget it mode that he at least had at that point, where he was taking big time risks trying to fit the ball into tighter windows. And that was where the weird stat of the one time that Aaron Rodgers has thrown double digit interceptions in his career, they went on and won the Super Bowl in 2010. Otherwise, he hasn't taken those types of chances much.
Well, you can see his escapability is not what it used to be. I mean, he's still athletic, but he's not what he was, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. He's not that same guy. This guy can be Tom Brady if he wants to be, which means that he can stay in the pocket and pick you apart. We saw that 1 year where I think he had that calf muscle or something was messing around.
Yep, in 14.
He can stand in there and pick you apart. So, Rodgers just got to figure out where he wants to be in his career, and they will be the Packers, Brian Gutekunst. They have to get players around him to work with his skill level that he has right now. And Rodgers has to come to terms with that as well. Like, man, you know, I still can move. I still can do some of this stuff, but I don't have it like I used to. Because teams defensively are going to start playing him differently.
True.
Knowing that he doesn't have this capability like he used to.
Yeah, the game plans are going to start being skewed a little bit different, knowing that. And also, I mean, we started seeing it last year, knowing what the initial game plan was going to be was to establish Aaron Jones. And a lot of teams try to do that right out of the gates and take that away. We'll take a timeout from the football talk and get into some golf here with Gary D'Amato of Wisconsin.Golf coming up on the other side of the break. The governor's orders of the Safer at Home include golf courses. Incredibly mixed reaction at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter. So we'll talk to Gary D'Amato, who has a piece up right now at Wisconsin.Golf outlining how long it's going to be until you can get back on the links. He talks with us about it next on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM The Fan. Welcome back, Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bill Schmid here with Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, Leroy Butler, and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer broadcasting on his front porch with you here at 414-799-1250. You want to join the phone lines, you can also tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Wisconsin.Golf, Gary D'Amato joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Gary, appreciate the time. First off, hope everybody at home is doing safe during this trying time in our country.
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing fine at home, and same for you guys.
And now it's going to be a little bit more difficult to at least enjoy the time down as Governor Evers' verdict yesterday of the Safer at Home decision does now close all golf courses, as there seem to be a lot of questions as to whether we were going to be able to play golf during this time, which is a little bit confusing to me, Gary, because they say go on out and exercise, but some people use golf as their exercise and keep quite a distance from people depending on how tight you are to the fairway.
Yeah, you know, that I think the confusion stems from the fact that, you know, boat launches are still open, bait shops are open, you can go to state parks and hike, you can jog, you can walk your dog, you can bike shops are open. But golf courses are closed, and I think most golfers feel that golf is on the high end of the safety spectrum when it comes to coronavirus. Nothing is fail-safe unless you lock yourself in your house for a month. But golf certainly would seem to be one of the more safe things you can do as long as you practice social distancing, you know, when you're on the course. So, yeah, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of anger out there on social media about golfers not being able to play golf right now in Wisconsin.
You know, that's the one thing, and you brought up the whole fishing aspect, and I saw Rob Demoski of ESPN tweeted out earlier today, how can you allow 2 to 4 people in a boat to go fishing and say it's okay when they're all crammed into a boat versus golfers who are spread out all over the golf course? I saw Morningstar, I don't know if you saw this or not, I saw a thing from Morningstar Golf Club earlier today, you know, arguing their side of things of what they told the state of Wisconsin and all their safety procedures they would do and one person to a cart and how they would clean the carts and everything else. I thought it seemed fair to me as far as what Morningstar was stating that they would do to accommodate, you know, the virus concerns that are going on with the pandemic. For you, is there anything you think these golf courses could have done to get around this?
You know, I think what they're doing now is they're being proactive. As you mentioned, Morningstar's policies, I know Evergreen Golf Country Club in Elkhorn posted something on his Facebook page urging golfers to contact their state legislators and the governor's office. Golf courses are doing that independently, and also behind the scenes, the Wisconsin State Golf Association and the Wisconsin PGA are advocating on the behalf of golf courses and golfers everywhere in our state. So, you know, is there a chance that this order could be rescinded or lifted or amended when it comes to golf? I think there's a pretty good chance that could happen in the next week or so, because the governor's office is going to be inundated with calls and letters and emails from golfers and golf courses. I think there's a chance it could happen.
As well as it should be. And you talk about the jobs, too. I know that my son Brock is working at Edgewood Golf Course, and then they got the word that they can, you know, no longer work. And so you're talking about guys being out of work. You can put more people back into work. And I still think you can keep a healthy distance. Now, the problem that we'll have to have, Gary, is do you let foursomes out or do you let guys go play single? To me, that would be, how would you govern that if they were to pass and let this get back guys playing golf?
Yeah, Gary, that's a good question. You know, I played Geneva, the Tribuno course at Geneva National on Monday. Ironically, the course opened Monday, was open for 2 days and had to close today. But mm-hmm. They had a rule that only two people were allowed in the golf shop at the same time. So I had to stand outside the shop because there were a couple people ahead of me checking in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people behind the cashiers, you know, were wearing latex gloves, and there was no point of contact, really. And then as far as foursomes going out on the course, I think it's permissible as long as maybe you either walk or you have an individual golf cart. I think no one would argue that sitting next to someone for 4 hours in the golf cart probably is safe at this point, but there are ways around that. So, yeah, I think, there's ways around it, and there's ways for foursomes to get out.
But, Gary, to me, now, I got to look at this thing a little bit more wide range. There's no way they're picking on golf. The NBA, it's opening day tomorrow, and they can't play. And the NBA can't play. There's free agency, can't even, these guys can't even, they sign all this money, they can't even take physicals. I would tell the golf community, just take it easy. It's not even really golf season here yet. Now, other places, yes. But we can't golf now.
We just want it to be, Leroy. I could put a couple of sweatshirts on and still get out there and play 18.
If this was June, hey, man, yes. But not cry me a river. I want to see NBA. It's a lot of things I want to see. So when I see golfers, you guys got to wait in line. And I don't think people really want – they're not used to hearing that, Gary. That's the problem, because if the Masters, the granddaddy of them all say, hey, listen, we're good, we're going to shut this thing down. I thought the golfers would kind of get in line, but I guess I was wrong.
Well, you know, Leroy, honestly, you raise a good point, and it's a valid point. The golf season most years in Wisconsin doesn't start till typically early to mid-April, and courses up north don't even open until late April or early May. So really, in some respects, it's not quite golf season yet. However, we've had a pretty good spring as opposed to recent years. And golfers, you know, have been holed up all winter.
True.
And they're champing at the bit to get out and play, and now they can't. So I think that's where some of the frustration is coming from.
They're trying to get away from their kids, Gary. That's the real problem. And I don't blame them, man, because today everybody would be golfing today. It's beautiful out there today.
It's perfect. Gary D'Amato at Gary D'Amato Golf, where you follow him on Twitter, also writes for Wisconsin.golf. Now, Gary, there are petitions going around, as you said, to at least try to get people back onto the course, and people are contacting their local legislation. But to you, to be honest, do you believe we see people on courses in Wisconsin before April 24th?
You know what? I think there's a really good chance it's going to happen. And also, I talked to Jeff Swister with the Golf Course Owners of Wisconsin, and he said he wouldn't name the courses, but he said some courses actually are defying the order and are open right now, and golfers are on them.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know which courses they are, but, you know, another aspect to this is if you close the golf courses, you know, there's golfers who are just going to walk on them and play for free.
Thank you.
It's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, no, and sadly, I'm not shy to say it. That'll be me. I've never been one to follow too many rules, but I'll be able to walk onto one of those. And two, like you said, then it ends
we
up being for
no
free.
Got to bail you out.
You can't spare me a couple of dollars to bail me out, Roy?
Man, that's trespassing. No.
Okay,
no.
Well, maybe.
Don't the police have far more important things to do than to go
Thank
to the
Thank you.
Exactly. You're right, Gary. They got a lot more important things to deal with.
Right.
Like these kids that are licking things in grocery stores, believing that they're not going to get
arrest
corona,
bill.
And then they do get coronavirus. Gary, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon, and hopefully we're all
so
able
much,
to
Gary.
Tee it up here in the next couple of weeks.
All right, guys. Stay safe. Take care.
No doubt about it, Gary. You too, man. It's Gary D'Amato of Wisconsin.golf. And follow him on Twitter at Gary D'Amato Golf, 105.7 FM, The Fan, here on the Wendy's Big Shows where he joined us. If you missed any of it, go to 105.7FMTheFan.com. Click on Fan on Demand from John Paul's Buick GMC Highway 100 in Greenfield. While you're there at 105.7FMTheFan.com, starting up at 5:30 tonight, you'll be able to vote in our Fandemonium tournament for 64. Okay.
No. The 5 o'clock is the selection show. 5:30, the bracket is active. You will be able to vote starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
Got it. Okay, so 6 o'clock tomorrow night is when you'll be able to start voting at 1057FMTheFan.com. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 1057FM The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.